Nehemiah 9, as well as Isaiah 65, and your handout that is before you. You've been through a lot, haven't you? You think about your life, you've been through a lot, haven't you? You know, a lot of things you've had to deal with, physical issues, financial issues, stress, emotional things, people. Anybody have people in your life that are stressors? Okay, you have people in your life, relationships. Some of you have been through marital issues, divorce. Some of you are estranged from your children, parents. We've been through a lot. Some of those things we've been through together, right? We've been through ups and downs. Some of those things, those of you that have been a part of Bethel longer than myself, you've been through ups and downs. You've been through the highs and lows and up again and down again, right? Isn't life like that? Just ups and then the downs and then ups and then downs. Many of us have went through the weird pandemic together and all of its repercussions, and we've been through a lot, haven't we? And we suffer, right? We have hardships and things that we have to deal with. And some of us even right now are maybe in some of our darkest days, and we've got a lot of pain and things that are just constantly on our minds, things that we can't seem to fix. And then those of you that are news consumers, you know that this world is a horrible place, really. It is. There's a lot of horrific things, and the more you read and find out, I don't even want to name some of the recent news stories that I've heard just in our area of horrible things that people have done to even just total strangers, and it's a bad place to live, you know. And we've prayed about all of those things, right? We've prayed about things that are unrelated to us, and we've prayed about our own things and things we're worried about for other people. And we've prayed, and we've not seen outcomes many times, or at least not the outcomes that we're asking for specifically, what we're envisioning to happen when we pray, and we've not seen it happen. And it's difficult. In that scenario, God asks us to trust Him, you know. And it's difficult with all of that to trust. I mean, we trust Him that we'll get to heaven, but to trust Him that He's going to make some things all right in this earthly existence, He's going to resolve something, it's hard to trust Him. And yet, it makes me think of one of my nephews who, when he was much younger, Heather and I would watch him, babysit him, and we'd try to have a lot of fun. We didn't have kids of our own yet, so we'd do a lot of fun with him, and I lived vicariously through him, not having kids, and we'd do a lot of fun with him, and his mom would show up and pick him up, and he would just have this saying. It was almost every time when she'd come and get him, and we really thought he had a great time, and he'd look up at her with this very sad expression on his face, and got this soft, shaken tone, and almost a tear sometimes come down his eye, and he'd go, "Yeah, we did do that, but you know what we didn't get to do?" And he'd tell you whatever it was that he didn't get to do that day. And this was crazy because we could have taken him to Sandcastle, and I think we did at some point in there. We could have taken him to Sandcastle, the water park, all day and bought him food and snacks and just did any slide, any whatever he wanted to do. And then for whatever reason, we didn't buy him ice cream. And so, you know what we didn't get to do today? I didn't get to have ice cream. Really? Everything. I mean, I think if we would have taken him to Disney World, if he hopped on a plane and went to Disney World or Hawaii and went scuba diving and swam with the dolphins, he would still find, you know what we did get to do? We didn't get to find any starfish. We didn't get to look for shells. And you know what's funny? To a much larger scale, our misery is often like my nephew, in that we just seem to focus on the reasons why life is bad, and we miss all the different ways, forget about all the different ways that God is moving, has taken care of us, has healed, has sustained us, has helped us out, but we just, kind of like my nephew, keep looking up at God with a sad look on our face and tears coming down, and we say, but yeah, God, but you know what you didn't do for me? And we're suffering, right? And that's not to make light, because some of the things we've gone through are very hard things. Working through being a single parent, dealing with cancer once, twice, to recover from losing loved ones, hard things. But yet at the same time, we just tend to lose sight of all the great things that we have in life. And how in the world can we get to a place where we can trust God again to pray and believe that he's going to respond? That we can trust God again, that everything's going to be okay, that I don't have to be anxious. Do you ever think about the profoundness of Jesus saying, do not worry about your life? You ever think about that? Such a simple, short phrase, but wow, is that hard to fully embrace, isn't it? Just not worry about our lives and not be stressed by that. I tend to carry all my stress goes right into my neck. Anybody like me, you have a body part that all your stress just goes right into it. Even all my excitement, too, will go right in there. You know, like yesterday when Ohio State lost to Michigan, my neck just was horrible, horrible shape. And then one of my good friends, Donovan, was being a good buddy, and he was harassing me and played the Michigan song right before service, if you caught that. And I'm trying to make him feel as convicted as possible. But all that stress, you know, to actually have an experience where we can trust God that we can get diagnosed with cancer, we can have someone walk away from us, we can be all alone, just not worry about these things of life, to not be stressed, to be at peace, and to have the joy of the Lord, even though we don't have anything financially, to have that. He tells us we can be in that place, but how can we trust him that way? Well, this is where we go back to Nehemiah, where we're going to find some guidance on how we can trust God in that sort of way. Look with me, if you will, Nehemiah chapter 9, and we're going to jump through a couple of different places in this chapter, and we'll be in this chapter for a few messages, because it's and I encourage you to read it at its length on your own time. There's a lot of things in here that are kind of woven together, so it's going to kind of select different parts of that. But as they've come out of what they've come out of, they went through the exile and all the different issues that they had. Many of them never knew anything but exile, and they're back, and they're building the walls, and things are getting established, and they still have their issues, and then they begin to pray, and they begin to express certain things to God and about God. And in verse 6, they say this, Nehemiah 9, verse 6, you are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worship you. You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made with him the Perizzite, the Jebusite, to his offspring the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, the Girgashite. Whenever I get all the ites, it's way easier to pronounce those than some of the other names. And you have kept your promise, for you are righteous. Now skip all the way down to verse 33. Verse 33 says, yet you have been righteous in all that has come upon us, for you have dealt faithfully, and we have acted wickedly. It's difficult to trust the Lord when we've been, at least in our minds, let down in so many ways. And yet, if we understand certain things about him, about the Lord, traits of him, we can get to a place where we can trust him and have perfect peace in the midst of whatever it is that we find ourselves facing. We can trust Jesus because of his ability and because of his behavior. First is his ability. He is in charge of everything. You know, we say Jesus Christ the Lord. We use that word Lord all the time in our faith circles that he is Lord, but do we really get this, the substance of what that means, that Jesus is Lord, that he is above everything? And I have references in your notes for some of the things I'll read for you, but Philippians 2 says this: therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everything has been made or will be made subject to Jesus Christ. You remember when the disciples were in the midst of a great storm and they were on a boat and they were in fear of their lives, and they got Jesus up from his sleep, and he got up, and what did he ultimately do? He spoke to the storm, said, stop. And it stopped. Jesus just in an instant can just step into whatever situation and has all the authority to just stop it all, to just change everything about the circumstances that we're in a moment. And really what's frustrating for us is not that he doesn't have the authority to do that, and not that he won't at some point. It's that he's not doing it right now. That's when we find ourselves frustrated. When my body's still aching now, when my paycheck is still the size it is now, when my relationships are the state that they're in, I have the emotional feelings that I have right now, and he's not stepping in now. But we need to remember that ultimately, at some point, every knee, think about that, every knee will bow, whether it's by force or willfully, everyone will be under the subjection of Jesus Christ. That's the person when he's asking you to trust him. That's who he's asking you to trust. The one who has complete authority over everything. That boss of yours that drives you crazy, Jesus has authority over him. Your parents that drive you crazy, Jesus has. My kids are hopefully not listening at this moment, so. Jesus has authority over them. That pastor that drives you crazy, Jesus has authority over him. The government that drives you crazy, Jesus has authority over all of them. The neighbor, over all of them. He also is better than everything. In verse 6, it says, you are the Lord, you alone. You see, that's the uniqueness of God, is that while we're made in his image, we're like him in different ways, there is nobody that's exactly like him. There are certain things that are about God that nobody else has. He is God, him alone. And Ephesians says this about the Lord. Ephesians 1 says he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand and in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. But he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul adds in Philippians 3:8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jesus is better than everything. On Thursday, some of you ate some food that tasted pretty good. Some of you were pretty tired after eating a lot of that food that tasted pretty good. Jesus is better than that delightful food or dessert that you ate. Jesus lasts longer. It's okay, Melissa's just singing us a song. Jesus is better than the pleasure that you've experienced, the financial resources. Have you ever saved up and saved up and saved up for something, and when you finally bought it, it was nice for a while, but at some point it didn't seem to matter that much? Like, why did I spend so much time worried about getting that thing and saving for that thing? And because that's the thing with material things and stuff in life, and even the people in our lives, is that they don't satisfy, at least not forever. At some point, the satisfaction wanes and it goes away. And Jesus is something else. He can give us pleasures. Lord, and him alone, he can satisfy unlike anything else. He can give us pleasures and joy and peace and fulfillment like nothing else. That's the person that when Jesus says, trust me, that's the person that he's asking us to trust, is the one who's in charge of everything, who is better than everything. He is the one who created everything. In Nehemiah, they highlighted that. You have made, and then they listed some of the things that he has made. In Colossians 1:17, it says, and he is before, speaking of Jesus, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In Romans 1:20, it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And then look at Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65 and 17 on down says this, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with him. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb, I want you to think about that. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This God is a creative God. I mean, if you like animals, anybody like animals? Anybody like going to the zoo? Okay, you got all these crazy different animals and just tons, thousands of species of animals all over the place. And this God that we serve created all of that. That was all within his mind. He thought of all the craziness of the things that we see around. He created all of that. And not only did he create it, he just spoke it into being in an instant. Think about the whole ground that we are now sitting or standing on. Jesus just in 1 second said, be, and it came into existence. And when we find ourselves trying to figure out how are we going to pay these bills and make these ends meet, remember the Lord that we're serving in an instant spoke all the material world into existence. Can he not in a moment speak bills being paid in an instant? Back being realigned, cancer being eliminated, people's hearts being changed just by the spoken word. Created everything. And he's going to create additional places for us to dwell that will be for eternity. And we can lie with the lamb and the lion. Have you ever seen those people? What is that tiger? I never watched it, but there's that Netflix guy that had all these tigers or something that he had. And usually those people at some point end up killed by their pets because they're living with these wild animals that are predators. But someday you'll be able, wouldn't it be cool to be able to just walk a tiger around or a lion or go swim with the sharks without any worry, because God can speak anything that you can imagine into existence. Not only is he the creator, but he's also the sustainer. In verse 6, he said, speaking of the host of heaven, you preserve all of them. You think of the stars. Now, he could have been referring to angels, but you think of the stars up in the sky that we look at night. Now, you have to leave Pittsburgh to be able to see them, but but you look at the stars at night, those have been there for thousands and thousands of years, burning constantly, fixed in one look, just suspended in air. And I know that scientists have figured out the formula as to gravity and why those things are where they are, but I think sometimes because we have flight today and we have the internet and we have all the things that we have, we lose sight of how miraculous that is, that this huge object that we're standing on right now, that is a big ball, just sits suspended in air. rotating around the sun, and it never, because I don't know about you guys, have you ever tried to bowl and you're like, I want to try to get that down right down the middle and knock all those pins down, and it just keeps going over there? Like, I just want to be in control, make it go straight down there. You ever made it go straight, and then you bowl again, and you're doing the exact same motion, and it goes all the way over there, and you're like, wait a minute, it is not that easy to sustain. Going straight down the line, because it is not that easy to sustain things. We lose our strength all the time, don't we? And yet, Jesus upholds all things with the word of his power. In fact, it says, and I think I read that a moment ago, Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hebrews 1:3 says he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I'm sometimes wishing for that moment, aren't you? When we're weary and faint, and yet the Lord is sustaining us through even when we're tired and exhausted. He is the sustainer. And we might think, well, I know all those things about God. I know that he's creator, sustainer. I know that he's the Lord of all. I know all those things. How is that supposed to encourage me in the thing that I'm sitting in right now? Well, the way, and you can answer that if you want. How can that encourage me now when I'm sitting in what I'm sitting in now? You know how it is? You just have to remember one line. But you know what I didn't get to do? Remember my nephew? You know what I didn't get to do? I want you to think about something for a minute. The only reason you're struggling with the thing you're suffering with now is because it's the thing that's open right now. But how many things have you gone through and you've suffered through that got resolved? How many times has Jesus sustained us through a thing that was difficult, dark, lonely road, and Jesus sustained us through it? Jesus guided us through it. Jesus created a new thing in it. Jesus spoke with authority, leaned in, and changed it. But we forget that because that thing is past. And we're dealing with a new thing. And we forget about the ways he's provided for us in the past when he's not providing for us as abundantly as he once had before, because don't you love inflation? Because when you go to Walmart and the price of food, you ever check out at when you finish shopping, you check out and you look at the price and you're thinking, wait a minute, I didn't buy all that much. And we forget that we've had the money in the past to pay for those things because Jesus has been faithful to provide. And yet we, in the moment, we say, but you know what I didn't get to do? Because we're focused on all the problems, thinking that I don't have reason or evidence to trust in God. You do have reason and evidence to trust in God. Just begin pointing behind you at all the things that he resolved back there. And then we can remember, I should be able to trust him right now in this thing because he took care of all of those things. If I remember who he is and what he is capable of, and also I can remember his behavior, the way he behaves towards us. He wants us. Did you know that? He wants you. He desires to be present with you. And he points out in Nehemiah, it says, the God who chose Abram, and we can say, well, that's just Abraham, but what does the New Testament say? That all of us who believe on Jesus Christ are all children of who? Of Abraham. We all become a part of that. Jesus, in fact, it says in Ephesians 1:4, it says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. John 3:16, we know this, for God so loved the world. Jesus wants us. And so when we find ourselves lonely and in despair and wondering why we should keep trying this life and feeling like God's not present, remember, he is actually there wanting to be with us. Rebuke your feelings when they lie to you and tell you that he's not there. Rebuke your thoughts when they tell you that he doesn't want any part of me, because why else? Isn't there truth to what he revealed to us in the written word? He wants you. He also frees us. In verse 7 of Nehemiah, it says that he brought him out. He pulled him out of the situation that he was in. And then 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He sets us free. When we find ourselves feeling like I'm captive to the fleshly thing that I'm captive to, or the worries that I'm captive to, remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so even though I might not feel it at the moment, even though I'm not seeing the effects of it right now, the Holy Spirit is present with me and I have access to freedom. He also changes us. In verse 7, it says that he had given him the name and he had changed it, Abram's name, from Abram to Abraham. And God likes to come into us and change us. Now, he's not like the meddlers in our lives that come in to try to change us for their own good. He comes in and changes us for with unveiled face. Behold, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. He changes us. So when you find yourself feeling like all hope is lost, I can never get past this, I can't become a different person, remember, this God that is asking us to trust in him can completely change who you are. Completely change how you feel in an instant. I remember when I got saved and I had the difficult relationship I did with my dad. I remember when I got saved and I hated him before I got saved. When I got saved, all that anger towards him was immediately gone. Just instantaneously gone. I had no words for it. I didn't know how to explain it. It was just gone. Jesus is able to do that. Whatever it is that you find out about yourself that you feel so flawed, feel undeserving before the Lord and before others, Jesus can in an instant step in and change that. He is also fair with us. Verse 8 says, you have kept your promise. You are righteous. And we went down and grabbed verse 33, which says, yet you have been righteous in all that has come upon us. Now they're referring to the good and to the bad. You have been right in all that has come upon us, for you have dealt faithfully and we have acted wickedly. Anything that happens in our lives, Jesus has still been faithful in that. Whether it's good or it's bad, Jesus is being fair. And we might say, well, I don't understand how he can be fair. Well, first of all, he keeps his promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. Jesus is faithful to fulfill every one of his promises that he says that he will do for us. Even in this world, you will have trouble. We love the quote, the great promises that make us feel good. But Jesus has never spoken a false lie, ever. Everything he has said would come to pass has come to pass. Jesus keeps his promises. And so if you find yourself suffering, remember that Jesus is true to his word. He said, in this world you will have suffering. And we might think, well, that's not a comforting thought. Well, remember, the same one who is faithful to fulfill that one is the same one that will also fulfill thee. And in this world you will have my peace. And rejoice in the Lord, for the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Abide in me and my love, and I will abide in you. If I leave this place, I go and I build a house for you. And if I go to build it, I will return and take you to be with me. The same Jesus that was true to his word for the bad things is true to his word for the good things. He is faithful to his promises. He does what is right. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. He does everything right. There is nothing that he does that is wrong. Problem is, he also gives us consequences. Isn't that great that he's a loving father and he also punishes us? Hebrews 12 says this, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Isn't that interesting? We respected our earthly parents for disciplining us. Why not our heavenly father? Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplined us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know, sometimes we get frustrated with the Lord because he doesn't reveal the answers to things that we'd like him to reveal the answers to. And we might feel like I can't trust him because he's not telling me what to expect. But I can tell you that there have been numerous encounters that I've walked into. I don't know if I would have known going in what it would have been like to work in the foster system if I would have chose to go into it, if I would have known ahead of time. And I would have missed out on the wonderful kids that I have. As much as they drive me crazy at times, I would have missed out on the relationship. Have you ever had one of your children come and give you the warmest, most affectionate hug? And ladies, perhaps you might at times how painful it would be to deliver that child. Perhaps you might not ever have chosen to experience that wonderful experience of being a loved mother. And there are numerous things that are painful to go through, but they result in so much pleasure and fulfillment. And God in his wisdom lets us go through the pain and the suffering. And in his wisdom lets us go through the not having the answers so that we can have what's best, what is the greatest. But when we're suffering, it seems to be all that we can focus on is, but you know what I didn't get to do? And all the while, Jesus is concocting this whole great thing for us. And all the while, much of the suffering is coming because we deserve it. Ever thought about the past you? Ever thought about the way you've treated other people? Ever thought about the way you've treated your parents when you were young? And some of you think, well, I'm pretty good. I don't think I did anything wrong. You might need to do a little double check on that. Ask some of your friends. And maybe it wasn't acts of assertion towards other people. Maybe it was acts of passiveness. Maybe there were people you weren't there for that you should have been. People that you didn't help out that you should have. Because aren't those the things Jesus points out? When I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was thirsty, you did not give me something to drink. When I was lonely, you did not visit me. And when we think about who we are, we deserve it. You know, when I am hurting, and I have my things that I struggle with, but this is not one of them. When I'm hurting, I never struggle to get mad at God about that. I might feel frustrated that I have the pain and I'd rather not. And I'll ask him and I'll pray and I'll believe. And if God wills, he will bring the healing at the time when it's necessary. But I never get angry with God because I know I deserve every ounce of that pain. I deserve it. And we're getting out of a lot of things, actually, when we come to think about it. And he is fair with us. Not one thing have you gone through that either we didn't deserve or it wasn't worth what's going to be created out of that. Doesn't it say he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him? Even this diagnosis of cancer, even a spouse divorcing you, even losing a close loved one, all things are worked together for the good of those who love him. But the good news is even though we deserve this discipline, he provides redemption for us. He provides recovery. He provides an out. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So even though we might have to be put out at times, to lack, to be hurting, to be lonely for a season, even though that might be the case, God's always ultimate end, though, is for everything to be great again. And what a glorious God is that, that we don't deserve anything from him, and he gives us the consequences at times that we deserve, but it never ends there. It ends with this glorious existence that we can have. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? In this room stands people that are suffering. Some in this room feel abandoned by God. Some of you feel hopeless and in despair. Some of you have given up in different ways. Some of you have stopped praying and asking God to resolve whatever it is that you're wrestling with. Some of us have given up because we don't feel like there's any evidence to trust in him. But I challenge you, look at your past. Look at it. It's amazing how we miss the little ways that we didn't even know that was God. We gave the credit to the human being that showed up at the time, but didn't realize that that was God who instigated that person into our lives. It was God that opened that door. It was God that gave the opportunity. There might have been a human face or name with it, but it was God who brought it to be. Our God has been faithful to us time and time again, and he will be faithful to us again in the future, today and tomorrow. And no matter what you find yourself going through, we have every reason to trust it's going to be okay. Wouldn't you love to have the peace and security of knowing that? Wouldn't you love to not have to be so dependent on your circumstances being good and great, of being pain-free and have everything that you need and everybody liking you? Wouldn't you love to be in a place where it didn't matter what my circumstances were? I have the joy of the Lord, and it is my strength. And I have peace that surpasses all understanding. That comes not from money, not from good health, not from emotional stability, not from relationships and people loving us and caring for us and being there for us. It comes from having a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you need help with that this morning, he is here, wants to. Remember, he wants you. He wants every ounce of you. And he wants to be with you every moment, more than you want to be with him. And he is here willing to help us gain that kind of trust. Will you come and seek him if that's your need this morning? Earlier this morning, I sensed the Lord, besides just the message, give me a word for somebody. And I thought it would surface in the message, and it just didn't come to my memory, perhaps because this might be the right moment for that. Someone here, the Lord wants you to know, it's okay to be sad about a thing. It's okay to grieve whatever it is that you've lost your health, or you've lost a loved one, or you have circumstances that are difficult to deal with. It's okay to grieve. The Bible has numerous statements about grieving, weeping, having remorse. It's okay to grieve. It's okay. He doesn't want us to be happy about the horrible things. So let that sit with us for a moment. It's okay to weep before him. He tells us, let's say, a broken heart. We even have a song that records that statement in Scripture. A broken heart and a contrite spirit he has yet to deny. So it's okay to be broken before him. What he doesn't want us to be is he doesn't want us to continue in our fear. He's constantly telling us, fear not, be anxious for nothing, Paul says. He doesn't want us to be anxious and stressed. Remorseful, sure, sad, grieved, not in distress. He doesn't want us to be broken beyond repair. We might be pressed. What does the Scripture say? We might be pressed but not crushed. He doesn't want us to be defeated. No, we might be wrestling through things. He doesn't want us to be quitters, though. He doesn't want us to give up. And he wants us to know his peace that surpasses all understanding. He wants us to know that. And so just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would. And you know what I love about the Lord is you can have an imperfect vessel like me standing before you sharing things that some of these things I wrestle with. But it's because we're not speaking our words, we're speaking his words. These are his words to us. Beautiful thing is we could have been broken and tripped and fell and given up time and time again. And yet right now in this moment is still an offer of redemption. In this moment is still an offer to see a different way of living. Don't trust yourself to solve your problems. Now we need to act and we need to do, but we need to act and do the things that he calls us to do. So if we aren't trusting him by living our lives faithfully to the things he's called us to live, then that's a lack of trust. We need to trust that if we are faithful to him and do what he tells us to do, everything will be okay. He will work all things together for the good of those who love him. And I want you to know that I might not know what the depths of what you're going through, but Jesus knows. And I might not be able to compare. My sorrows might not come close to touching the sorrows that you find yourself dealing with. But none of us can compare our sorrows to the depth of what Jesus allowed himself to go through. He understands, unlike anybody else. That's why he is Lord and he alone. So if you're here this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you just need prayer because you're broken in one way or another. You're in despair in one way or another. And you need his felt presence and his love and his comfort and his peace and joy this morning. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Good. Good. Anybody else? Good. He knows it. He knows what you're facing. So, Lord, you see us right now. And if you so desire, just lift both hands up to him as a call of dependence and need of him. Lord, you see those that are reaching out to you. And we ask, Lord, right now that you would begin to touch them. We believe and hope and ask for deliverance for whatever is needed delivered from, for freedom from those things, transformation and change. But above all of that, Lord, I ask that you would help us, help these that are raising their hands towards you. Help us to be able to trust you, to trust you through the pleasure and the pain, to trust you through the provisions and the loss, to trust you through the abundance of presence in the walk of a lonely road. Help us to trust you with all our heart, to know, because you are faithful to your promises. All your promises are yes and amen. And we have seen it time and time again. And help us not to lose sight of that. And help us to be able to rise up from the ashes and to be able to walk as victories, because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because you are faithful. Help us to walk in that and know that comfort. And help us, Lord, to give that to others as well. Help us to be able to be, because, Lord, many of the times that when those things were resolved, they were resolved by you through another person. So help us to choose to be the other person, Lord, to be the one that brings words of life and comfort, to bring the word, be the one that brings provisions to give, to be generous, to be the one that's a faithful servant. Help us to be that. Because many of the things that we're lacking today, Lord, isn't because you're not faithful. It's because we have not been faithful to do what you've called us to do. So help us to rise up to that. Give us the ability we ask. We trust you. We thank you because you are Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Isn't he good? He is so good. He is so, so sweet. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is so good. May we know that. Amen. Next week, we just scratch the surface on understanding why is this world so horrible. And chapter 9 is going to give us a greater, a better depth of insight and understanding. Why is this world the way that it is? And if you'd like to be able to make sense of some of that, then please come and join us next week as we continue walking in that. But thank you so much for being here this morning. Love you. God bless you. And see you Wednesday. Take care.